But I mean, honestly, how cool would it be to be like, nah, like I'm a legit Hollywood actor. I came through college sports, through professional wrestling, into acting. My name, my given name is Dwayne Johnson. And I got motherfuckers the world round, literally. Millions and millions of people calling me The Rock. Look at me. I can't blame them. But The Rock. That's fucking Arnold Schwarzenegger and everyone by The Rock.
Randy
the scrubbing bitch.
50 Randy Quaids.
Could call her the fucking mopping broad.
50 Randy Quaids.
His life is working out.
We watch movies so you don't have to.
Cage Talk.
Welcome to 50 Randy Quaids. I am your host with the most Nicolas Cage movies. Chuck Banner. And with me, my co-host, as always,
JT motherfucking money, bitch.
Yeah. You better have his money, bitch.
You probably don't need to give me my money if you have my money, unless you'd like to.
Bring that fatty son.
Please, I would appreciate you paying me, at the very least.
He appreciates it.
Yeah, I'd appreciate it. I appreciate you paying me in a timely manner.
Cheer. Well, this is episode 95.
Why you gotta breathe it like that?
Because I almost said 55.
All right, fair enough.
And that would be hashtag Cage Talk 39, Sonny. So yeah, there's a lot of numbers in there. It's 95th episode of 50 Randy Quaids, but it's also the 39th edition of the hashtag Cage Talk.
Now, when you say there are a lot of numbers in there, there are the same amount of numbers as usual.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Just like to point that out for everyone.
Yes, but there are three separate numbers.
Again, as usual.
Yes.
Yes.
But yeah, like I said, the movie we actually watched is called Sonny.
And I understand we've probably confused you at this point with all of the numbers we've been throwing at you. So if you have any questions or any comments regarding those numbers or honestly anything, it doesn't matter. If you want to ask Chuck about his personal life, you can ask the question. I don't know if you're going to get an answer. I don't know if he'll be the one answering, but you can ask. But Chuck, where would they do that at?
You can go to 50randyquaids.com and you can let us know what the fuck is up.
Is that the best place?
I think so. That's okay. What the sheet says. It just says go to 50randyquaids.com. Let us know what the fuck is up.
It doesn't actually say what the fuck, which I appreciate. We keep it clean on the sheet.
Yeah, the sheet's classy.
Just in case, you know, someone who doesn't need to be seeing curse words comes across it when it ends up in the recycling bin.
Yeah, you know that's right.
Yeah. So I heard we had a special guest in studio this week who had a trivia question for us.
Oh, yeah? Who's that?
Cajun Cosby?
Or was he the quiz for the trivia?
It's not Cajun or Cosby. I don't know what that was. You lost it. Like, you lost it entirely. You see.
Yeah.
No, hold on. Stop.
Stop.
Here's where you need. Start with the Cajun. Just do the Cajun. Do the Cajun accent.
I got to get to the Cajun first.
That's what I'm saying. Start there and then add the Cosby in later. You're doing like a Cajun Cartman right now, and it's not as good.
More when we get back from the trailer for Sonny.
From Nicolas Cage in his directorial debut.
My baby, Sonny.
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 Oh my God. Are you still working?
Oh my God.
Heard a great deal about you. Come on, son, now, baby.
Patience. Said you wanted to get what you paid for.
You don't know Sonny like I do. Because he don't care a damn thing about you.
I fell into a burning ring of
I don't know what happens next.
You want to get serious or what?
What are you going to do?
Mom, I'm not going to do that kind of work anymore. I don't want to screw on that anymore. I don't have the stomach for it.
You got to face the fact that this is all there is.
I just don't want to get old and not have anything to show for it.
I ain't never been out on a real date before.
It's time you learn. You just be yourself, right?
You're a strange man.
You're 26 years old, Sonny. How much longer do you think you can keep this up?
As long as I have to.
Lifestyle we got going here. Well, it's always better at night than it is in the morning.
Golden Globe winner James Franco. Golden Globe winner Brenda Blethyn. Mina Suvari. Harry Dean Stanton. In a film by Nicolas Cage. Sonny.
And we are back. Back.
Where in, are we in the saddle this time?
No. We are wherever you want to be.
We're in the brothel.
Oh, you know that's right.
But where, what is this? Where are we?
This is hashtag cage talk. And this is where we are going to talk every single little thing about Nicolas Cage's, direction of this movie,
or at least we mean to. We are going to talk about the nose he wears in his special appearance as Acid Yellow.
Oh yeah.
Well, again, we will get to Acid Yellow later,
and we are going to be generous though and give our loyal listeners and even some new ones maybe potentially.
If you are new, welcome. We love you. If you've been listening for a while, we love you more.
We are going to give you that one little warning, and we're going to spoil.
It's little. It's a little warning.
We're going to spoil the shit out of this movie.
That's the little warning.
And we're generous, like I said, so we're going to give you 3 seconds. It's going to be a countdown. We're going to count down from 3, 2, 1. Right now. 3, 2, 1.
So James Franco's character, Sonny, returns home from the army to a life of his mother trying to get him to go back to being a sex worker, which he trained him to be.
Starting at 12.
He's wrestling throughout the entire movie trying to get away from that life. Should he give back into it? And it comes up to the question at the end, is he just going to run away from that life and be happy and try and find something where he isn't a sex worker and doesn't want to be? Well, it's vague. We don't know. But the guess is, no, he probably doesn't.
And the guess is also that his mom fucked him before he was 12.
We'll also discuss why that's likely in a short while here, because this is a crime, and that would be a crime.
Oh,
and it's
yeah.
Also a drama, and I'd imagine that would be dramatic.
Yeah, I would definitely imagine.
And traumatic.
Yeah, probably, which is probably the reason why this movie, Sonny, is rated R. For strong sexuality, language, some drug use, and violence.
Nicolas Cage does a bunch of blow in this movie, in his short appearance.
The very short appearance that he has in it.
Oh, God. Again, it was maybe the best part of the movie. Well, his appearance, not necessarily that whole sequence.
I would say his appearance was probably one of the better parts of the whole movie and the ending.
Well, all right, we'll discuss why this makes sense as we go along, but this had a limited theatrical release beginning December 27th, 2002. Now, if you're being limited in your release 2 days after Christmas, chances are they're not expecting your movie to do very well.
Yeah, and it seemed like it had, when I was looking at this, the reason it had a... more bigger release, I guess.
Yes, a more bigger release.
Yes, yes. In all foreign lands. One foreign land in particular, I don't remember which one it was that it debuted in 2003. But I just remember that off the top of my head from when I made this sheet a handful of days ago. Now, also the website that I use for all this information just updated itself, so I was kind of learning how to use that again.
Well, you did find out while using it that this debuted at number 72 in the United States.
Yeah, yeah, not very good.
Well, it did have, in its 10th day on the market, pulling in $16.8 million, Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers.
Yeah, that's one of the new things, is it goes by days instead of weeks.
I like that.
And then at number two, Catch Me If You Can.
Catch as if you catch can.
Okay. And at day three at $10.1 million.
2 weeks' notice.
At number three was
$5.3 million
at day three, or day eight. I just didn't put the M there because I forgot.
You also left out the me in Catch Me If You Can, which is why I said catch as if you catch can. Because that's how I read it.
Oh, that's funny. Okay.
That's a movie starring Shawn Michaels. Well, number four was Made in Manhattan at 4.2.
Not like it was made in Manhattan, like someone like actually physically made it. Like a maid, as in like...
It's Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah, you know, like a maid that like cleans. But I don't even think that maid is like an acceptable word anymore. I don't know.
No, I'm pretty sure maid is an acceptable word.
Is it?
Yeah, I mean,
Made in Manhattan, $4.2 million in day 15.
Sure. And Jennifer Lopez was a hot property in 2002.
She's a hot property in 2019.
That's true, actually. Yes.
And number five, Gangs of New York, $3.5 million in day 8.
So this movie didn't make money. Let's get that out the bat.
So it had a $4 million budget estimated. And domestically, it made a whopping $30,005.
How did they spend $4 million on this?
Don't know.
They blew up a car.
Yeah, I don't know how they spent the rest of it, though.
I don't know how much it costs to film in New Orleans to, like, shut some shit down.
Yeah,
I don't know what that runs.
It might cost some money to shut some shit down.
Well, to what you were saying earlier about the foreign release, it did make over $100,000 overseas.
Yeah, so it made three times as much as it did in America.
Which still only brought it to a whopping worldwide $132,221.
Yeah, this movie lost a shitload of money.
I mean, relative to how much it cost, but it wasn't a very expensive movie.
Yeah.
And I'm betting the people who financed this didn't expect it to make a lot of money.
Yeah, you're probably right on that.
I could be wrong, because why would you finance something knowing you're going to lose money? But it's also Nick Cage directing, so maybe he just knew the right people.
Maybe. It's possible. So we touched on the one true God as our director and actor playing Acid Yellow.
I like how you bill him first, even though he's not anywhere near
He's always the top bill.
He's
Nicolas Cage is 100% always the top bill.
Not as an actor in this film, he's not.
He's an actor. And not every how billing film, works. In every film he's in, he is the top bill. You know
that's
why?
Not how it works.
Because he is motherfucking Nick Cage.
This is literally a cameo appearance.
You know what? This is a starring role for director Nicolas Cage.
He was the star of directing, because that's what his job was. I don't know if he was an actual star at directing, but he did it.
Well, like I said, one true God, Nicolas Cage,
okay, well,
director.
The actual top bills of this movie, James Franco as the titular Sonny.
Brenda Blethyn was Jewel.
That's Sonny's mom and a real piece
bitch.
Of work. And her accent
was
and
awful.
More importantly than the accent, her voice was more annoying than mine can get at times.
Yeah, it wasn't awful. It was just thick. and I couldn't understand it. But then again, I probably couldn't understand anybody from New Orleans.
I understood the majority of what she was saying.
Yeah, I didn't pick up on 90% of it.
It wasn't that bad.
I'm just telling you what I could hear and what I can't hear.
Well, my good friend Harry Dean Stanton coming in playing
Henry slash dad. And you don't find that nugget out for the majority of the movie.
So we find out at some point that Sonny's only heard one story about his dad, and it's about his dad shooting a shotgun at his mom's former pimp, and he left a shotgun blast in the wall at this brothel, I'm assuming, is where they were at. And that's the only story he ever heard. And as far as he knew, his dad just picked up and left. Yeah. But that's not true. His dad's been with his mom and with him for like the entirety of his life. And he just thought that he was some guy.
Yeah, he just thought he was some guy named Henry.
Just lied to him.
I mean, his name was Henry, but like it was his dad.
Did they say his dad's name was Henry before we knew it was Henry?
No.
Oh, okay.
I was just letting our listeners know.
And then Mina Suvari as Carol, who is one of Jewel's workers.
She's her new, like, it girl.
Which we'll get into. We'll give real... Well, it's a quick and easy synopsis of who everyone is to start off the movie. Once we get back from the IMDb breakdown.
An honorable discharge soldier returns home to New Orleans, hoping to break away from his upbringing as a trained sex worker. But his brothel madam mother has other expectations.
And that's literally open scene. Boom. Sonny's walking down clearly New Orleans Street, which I was like, oh, Nick Cage back in New Orleans from directing. I don't think anything he's filmed since Zandalee has been in New Orleans, or I'm not aware that it was, if it was.
And if it was, if these were the only two since, like Zandalee and then this one, you know what? Maybe you should just stay the fuck out of New Orleans, Nick.
Nah, it's fine. It's not a big deal. So he's walking home. He's got his uniform on. Oh, knocks on the door. His mom lets him in. He's home. He meets Carol. Carol is living in his room and has been for the last 3 months.
Yeah, sounds about right.
And like, basically his mom is already starting to needle him right out the gate. Like, oh, you're home. You can get back to work now.
Oh, yeah, you want to start slinging that cock around?
Like, and again, as we find out later, she's been a worker for her whole life, it seems.
Yeah, and then she
raised him up. Carol says later that he was an accident, and I believe that that's
Carol
true.
Carol also says later, now I know why your mother calls you a natural-born whore.
And
that's about 10 minutes into the movie.
She didn't know this, I don't think, at the time. Like, she knew that he had worked before he went to the army, but I don't think she knew that Jewel had been training Sonny in the ways of
being a whore.
Or, at this point,
as we like to call them, sex workers.
12 years old, she started slanging him. She was selling him to have sex with... what I'm led to believe is just women, but who knows?
Well, on the back cover of the movie, Sonny, it did say, it pretty much led you to believe that it was all, we'll just let you know what it says. Meet Sonny and his mother, Jewel.
Okay, that is way too chummy of a way to start the back of that description.
Sonny has returned from the army to the sultry, sordid, sexy streets of New Orleans.
Wow.
He has a reputation as the city's most sought-after young hustler.
Oh, and he did, too.
A reputation he earned working for his mother. And it's a baggage he wants to lose.
From 12 to 22, he did that.
Sonny is back to start his life anew, maybe with Carol. One of his mother's girls, or one of the few who dream of the life outside the life, or maybe in Texas, where the promise of a real job at a bookstore seems almost too good to be true.
And it was. That bubble burst real quick.
Yeah, like immediately.
It had to happen.
Until now, he has survived in a business where women paid to sleep with him. But how much will it cost him to set him free? No. But how much will it cost to set him free?
We'll never find out.
So no, we will never find out.
So he comes back and he's like, nah, listen, Ma, I'm not interested in going back to that. I've been away in the Army for 4 years. I left when I was 22. I'm back now. I'm 26. I had a decade in the life, right? I did what you wanted me to do. I trained how you wanted me to train. I worked how you wanted me to work. I made you a lot of money. I made me enough money, but I'm clean now. I'm good. I'm going to head over to Texas City, and I'm going to get me a job in a bookstore with this dude I know from the Army. Peace out. And she's like, oh, you in a fucking bookstore, idiot? You don't know how to read.
And he's fucking, like,
you're gonna hate this.
And he's like, Mom, my life is the morning after, and I just got to change the night before. And she's like, you're a fucking idiot. Why don't you just go out there and slang your cack? That's all you're good for, slanging your dick.
Seriously, that's pretty much, minus the New York accent, the Jewish mother.
Yeah, it was definitely more of a, why don't you just go out there and slang your dick?
Much closer.
He was all like, you got it, Mom.
He's like,
I'll slang this dick.
I got to go. And he goes and he talks to Henry. Well, first he meets Carol, who spends the night in his room. Like I was saying, she's been working with Jewel for a couple of months, been living in Sonny's room since he's been gone, and apparently no one knew he was coming back home. He's kind of surprised, hey, I'm back. So they start hanging out. Like the first night that she stays in the room, like she's giving him $100 because she's trying to help him out. No, it's not the first night, because the next day she goes and she sucks off car salesman Tony to get his Pontiac.
Yeah.
And then comes back with the keys to that and like $100 or $300 or something that she gives him.
No, she's like, here's $100 and one of my Johns is gonna let you use this car till you get on your feet.
Yeah.
And then like she says something about, do you want me to leave the room or something? Like I can go get another room. And he's like, nah, you can stay in here. And then she's all like, she says something to him about like, oh, why don't you come to bed or whatever. And he's talking to her or whatever. And she's like, well, you ain't even done nothing yet. And he's all like, for $100, this is all you get is my conversation.
Yeah.
And then immediately after that, starts having sex with her.
Well, I don't think they show them having sex.
They showed him getting on top of her naked, and then it kind of faded to black.
It's just an excuse to show James Franco's butt.
Yeah, that's what he wanted
to
do.
And they came real close to showing his dick and balls a few times, but didn't.
Yeah, at least a handful of times.
Didn't. So then he's talking to Henry, and that's when we get our first glimpse into who Henry is. Before he's leaving, I guess Henry's, you know, he's a hustler. He steals shit. He sells shit at pawn shops. At one point, he threatens to stab a guy in the stomach later. So I think Henry's done and seen some shit. He is referred to as a failure after he's dead. Yeah. So, I mean, if that's any indication of how he lived his life. But as he said, he was happy being who he was and never wished that he wanted to be anyone else. And that was part of the speech that he gave Sonny before he left, was like, you think you want this life on the other side of the tracks where you're living clean and, you know, you join the PTA and do all this other shit. But he's like, that comes with its own set of problems. So you don't go over there and you don't have any issues anymore. It's just different issues. He's like, So just think about that, you know, before you go over there. And Sonny's like, I got it. I'm going
to
do it.
And then that reared its head later when he went to Texas to try to get that book job.
Well, it's exactly what he does next.
And he ends up going out on a date with his Army buddy and his Army buddy's girlfriend or something
two
like
sisters.
That. So double dates them. And
first date Sonny has ever been on, we find out.
And so, yeah, so
like legit date, something he's not being paid to do.
And so, yeah, he just didn't seem comfortable in certain aspects of it. And he's like, I just don't know how to act. And I'm like, that's what when I wrote down, I was like, all right, doesn't make sense that James Franco's character, a sex worker, wouldn't know how to act in this situation.
I made that observation when we were watching it too, but as I think about it, like, but he's trying to be genuine here. He's not trying to act like he would. And it seems like the scenarios that he had with the older women he was sleeping with were not go out on a date and then go back and, yeah, and bone things. They were come to my hotel room. We're getting straight to the fucking, come to my abandoned empty home where my husband's on vacation and maybe role play a little bit. So there was a different kind of expectation. I just don't think he knew how to be genuinely like, this is who I am on a date, open and real and honest, because he'd never legitimately done that before. I think that makes sense. And up until his freak out, weird shit, I could see the attraction. Like, she's saying, like, you know, he's kind of awkward, but he's also confident, like a child almost, and, like, mysterious. And so I see the appeal. He's a weird-looking dude when he smiles, but outside of that... But so they end up pairing off from the other people after they go on this date, and they sleep together, and she's like, man, that is... the fucking best shit I ever had. Like, you could sell that.
And then he's like, well, I mean, I did.
So in that openness that he was looking for, and that vulnerability on the first date, and then boning down and probably feeling like, ooh, this is good. Like, this is how this should feel. He's feeling open and honest and goes straight out and goes, yeah, I did. I sold this dick for, well...
since I was like 12.
Yeah. And she's like, wait, what?
She's like,
I don't get it.
She's like, so I gotta go drink some codeine real quick.
First she's like, nah, like, I don't get it. What do you
like,
mean?
She's like, I didn't even get that lean.
I thought you were in the army. And he's like, well, yeah, it was before then. And then he cuddles up with her, gets real tight. And then, yeah, the look on her face. And then she goes, I gotta go. And then starts chugging codeine.
And then he freaks out and he's all like, oh, she's an addict, and just starts breaking all of her codeine bottles, which was about three or four bottles of codeine.
I think she had three of them stashed in the closet and then the one that she was drinking out of. And yeah, he's freaking out because he's like, you weren't supposed to be addicts on this side of the tracks. That's the old world I came from, where people were fucking drug addicts, junkies, bums, losers, scumbags. Like, I'm trying to get to the other side of the track, but oh shit, here I get over here and find out. It's the same riffraff.
Didn't he realize, too, that the people that were, like, his clients were all from the other side? Like, the side he was, like, seemingly trying to get to, his clients pretty much seemed like they all came from that side?
Well, sure, and he knew that. I'm sure he knew that.
Well, then
why, the money...
like, then I don't understand why he couldn't put two and two together that, like...
He wanted to be the person... not necessarily literally, but figuratively paying someone to come to their house.
No, yeah, I get that, but...
he just needed to find a way to flip it from one side to the other. That's what he was trying to do.
Yeah, I get that, but he had this idea that nothing would... that, you know, the grass is always greener.
Yeah, I mean,
sort of idea.
It's a common mentality.
And it just... it didn't make sense because he seemed like a smart guy.
What didn't make sense about that? I'm confused about what you're confused about.
It didn't make sense to me that he couldn't see that everybody has, no matter where you are, what side of the fence you're going to be on, everybody's got flaws. Everybody's got that. That's just part of life.
I don't think it was the flaws that bothered him. It was the junky aspect of it that bothered him. I'd imagine he didn't see a whole lot of rich clientele as junkies when they were paying him to come over. That's probably not something he saw of their world. So he probably didn't think that that was a part of it. It was just the people on the lower end of society that were getting caught up in the drug use. These pretty young blondes from Texas weren't supposed to be hooked on codeine. In the way that he had constructed the world from the way that he had seen it. Like, I don't see how that's confusing.
I guess I get it. It just...
he idealized something that he didn't know because he only saw parts of it.
Yeah, I can understand that. It's just... He flipped his fucking wig.
Oh,
in
he
that
did.
Scene.
And then he... hightailed back to fucking New Orleans. And he's like, I'm going to start flipped selling out that
at
dick.
Least a handful of times in this movie.
There's more. There's definitely more. There's a freak out in the car that he has after the freak out in the old lady's house. So there's two back to back. He probably had three or four.
And then he flips out at Acid Yellow's place.
Oh, yeah, shit. Well, yeah, so he comes back and he starts working again, basically. He runs into these ladies when he's trying to buy some clothes, and he's still trying to hustle and get a job at the tailor.
Oh.
But the guy's like, yeah, no, I know what you are. I don't think so.
And so that freak out that he had on the blonde sisters, he was entirely naked in that entire scene. At least that's what it seemed like.
But all you caught was a shot of butt and a shot of blurred bush. No ding dong.
And he had been pretty much extremely calm up until that point in the movie.
He had been like Nick Cage's character in Con Air up to this point in the movie. Real soft-spoken, real calm,
and so
very collected.
It seemed extremely out of character.
Well, especially because he had just come, he walked into the bathroom on her drinking the codeine and immediately lost his shit. He went from 0 to 10.
He went from 0 to Nick Cage freak out.
And then for the rest of the movie, he was always kind of on edge and fucked up.
Then there was, like we said, he then comes back home, starts slanging that dick, and the next thing I actually have written down is for when they make the directorial decision to switch to slow motion while James Franco is penetrating an older lady with a nightstick.
So he goes over to this old lady's house dressed up as a cop. They do a whole banter spiel back and forth, end up in the bedroom. And even during the foreplay, she started like sucking on the nightstick. And I was like, okay. So they get up on the bed and he's going to like put it in her. And she's like, no. Use the nightstick. And he's like, huh? Like, oh shit. And then he does it. And yeah, he's got it in and they slow-mo and she's in heaven and his face is like, what the fuck am I doing here?
Yeah.
What is this? And that's when she stiffs him and instead of paying him the full 300, gives him 200. She's like, that's all I'm going to give you. And so he throws a bottle of liquor at a wall, busts a TV, pulls some drapes off the wall.
Oh, yeah, dude. He freaks out. He's just like, fuck this shit. He's like, you want to fucking stiff me? I think this is worth about $300. He just fucking picks up the TV and throws it on the ground.
Well, this is what we find out. When shit gets too fucked up for him, he just loses his cool. He busts shit
fucking
up.
Loses his shit.
And I asked this, and that, they don't really address it in the movie, but I wonder, was he always that way? Is that something that developed when he was in the army? Like, what brought on, and when did those crazy-ass anger attacks start kicking in?
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it doesn't really need to be addressed, but I'd just be interested, like, was he always that way?
Did it start after, you know, after his mom started selling him to women of the night or women of the day or just women in general?
It would be hard for it to have not started after that, considering that started at 12 years old.
Well, I mean, I don't know. He could have been a real angry 8-year-old.
Not likely, but
not
possible.
Not likely, but it's possible.
That's what I just said.
Oh, sorry. But also, that also makes me question whether or not he was smart. Because...
Who said he was smart?
Well, I kind of got the idea that he at least had some sense.
I don't think he's an idiot. He's good at what he got taught to do, but I don't think he's any smarter than that.
Well, that would make
sense. And he's obviously easily manipulated and controlled by his mother. Because that's how it's been his whole life.
So, like, him and Carol go do a couples thing. And then...
Where in the kitchen, Sonny very seductively eats a sandwich.
Oh, yeah. He does seductively eat that sandwich.
Like, if I could gif top five moments of Nick Cage-related movies up to this point, that would be in there.
Really?
The turning around, biting into the sandwich, the doofy-looking grin that he puts on his face, lack of eyeballs, like, top five gif.
It's just a wrinkle.
Along with him pumping weights in Boy in Blue, that'd probably be up there. The hair flowing in the wind gif from Con Air, which is easily accessible already.
That's a great gif.
Probably something from Vampire's Kiss.
The eyes, maybe.
These ridiculous faces that he makes in there. And then, I don't know, wild card for the fifth choice. Not going to get into it now.
Wild card.
From the movie Wild...
At Heart?
Card. Yes.
There is a movie called Wild Card, but I believe that has a different character. No, not character, a different human. What's that human's name? He's in...
I don't have any clue what the movie Wild Card is.
Oh, shit. I've seen it, too.
Is it the movie Tomcats?
No, no. The guy's British that I'm thinking of.
Okay, we've narrowed it down. Is it
He's Daniel, in the movie
is it Daniel
Spy?
Craig?
No, is it the movie Spy that we did for...
Jason Statham.
Yeah, Jason Statham. He's in that movie.
Yeah, no, I'm good.
He's the lead of that movie. It's terrible.
So let's get back to the sandwich in the kitchen.
Yeah, that sandwich was better than that movie.
I bet.
And I didn't even get to eat it. But where were we going with it? Oh, yeah, so that brings me to... Okay, so there was a point... When him and Carol are in the car and they've been driving all night.
No, this is after the couple's party.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, where they attended a party as a couple that split off with the couple who were throwing the party. They each fucked individually. The wife and Sonny in the kitchen underneath a picture of two angels hugging in the sky or something. I don't know.
Two angels play grab ass.
And then it cuts... up to the husband and Carol, and she's riding him, and he's like, I don't know, oh yeah,
yeah, go faster, show me you love it. And she's just like, yeah, you like that, you that.
And then they're both done. They come in, they're getting paid, and then two children run into the room. Apparently, this couple's children were somewhere in the house during this entire endeavor, and
they were watching James Franco. Slam their mom.
Oh, God,
in
no.
The kitchen.
No, I hope not. Although, that also reminds me of when Carol was with Troy earlier in the movie earning that Pontiac, and she was extorting him to get the Pontiac because he was going to give her a lesser car. So she's going down on him, and she just kind of stops, and she's like, remember what I talked to you about earlier, Tony? He's like, I'm not going to give you the Pontiac. And she's like, oh, I'm going to get the Pontiac. He's like, just finish it. Finish it. Just finish it.
And she's like, I'll finish it if I get the Pontiac.
All right, I can just finish it. Finish. He said finish it like four fucking times. And then they cut to her driving away in the Pontiac.
And
he's mopping his brow.
It's literally like right in his office with there's windows right to the outside.
Anyone could have walked up and seen
him getting
that exchange.
Filleted.
Sure, yeah. But so after they leave this couple's house where there's still children milling about it later in the evening, they get in the car and she's like, let's drive. And he's like, okay. It's raining, but okay.
So it's
dark and then it's light.
And then it's light. They're driving and they're on like, I don't know, some sort of mud road or something. And
I don't know where they drove to.
So their windows are down, and she's like, hey, I want to get out of the car and go for a walk. He's like, I don't want to go for a walk. It's going to rain. And
I'm in a fucking $600 white suit.
Yeah, and I ain't trying to get wet. And they were already wet from the night before when they got from the house.
Somehow they were wet. They must have driven for 6 to 8 hours at least, and they're still wet?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. And then they're walking around outside. So, like, the windows are down. And
when they pull up on the road, the windows are down. When they get out of the car, windows still down.
Yeah, yeah. And he made a big deal about how it was going to rain, and he didn't want to get wet, and yet he didn't roll the windows up.
Leather interior. Tan.
Come on, man. Dude, that's not even your Pontiac. I mean, like, come on, man. Treat this guy's car with respect. This is your girlfriend's future husband's car.
But here's the thing. They found a barn to fuck in.
After it was raining.
They were going to fuck in it. See, I speculated when they left the couple's house. Like, okay, they're going to fuck in their car. It didn't happen. Okay, so they get to this dirt road. They're going to fuck in the car in the dirt road. It didn't happen. They hide under a tree when it starts raining. Oh, they're going to fuck there. Didn't happen. They find this barn. They go there. Okay, they're laying down in the hay. We're getting there. They're going to fuck in this barn. They're
starting
to make
out.
No, she gets distracted by puppies. No, puppies.
Oh, yeah, puppies.
Suckling on the mother's nipples. And she's like, I need to have a baby now.
She's like, I need to have a baby puppy right now.
He's like, that's fucking stupid. You know the life we live. That's a dumb thing to do. And she's like, why can't you just want me to have a baby?
And she's like, how dare you say that I can't have a baby puppy? Like, how do you know I can't get impregnated by a dog? How do you know that you can't give me a dog baby? Like,
well, this is also the point in time when she's like, you were a fucking mistake, you dickhead. Don't try and run a game on me. Talking about, you know, your mom was ready to have you and all that shit. She didn't want to have you. It just happened. So yeah. I want to have my own mistake. And if it is a canine, then that's okay.
Yeah.
But it's mine.
That'll be the best 12 years of my life.
It's mine to have and raise. And he's not having any of it. So she runs out into the rain, and he tackles her in a puddle. And I'm like, oh, no, right. Now they're going to fuck in the puddle.
He threw a baseball at the back of her head, and she fell into the puddle. And he tried drowning her, and then he saved her instead.
That was a different movie that we're filming later. But in this one, he just tackles her. They sit in the mud together. They go, oh, God, I love you, baby. Oh, baby, 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 baby.
There's a lot of baby and daddies.
She's calling Sonny baby. She's calling Tony daddy. Which, I mean, all right, here's...
That makes sense that she's calling Tony daddy.
No, this is the one I was going to say. I'm sorry. If you are putting that man's penis in your mouth, don't call him daddy. I don't want anyone who's filleting me to call me daddy.
Oh, yeah, that does make sense, too, though.
I'm not I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like it. Baby,
I don't like it.
I don't really like pet names in general. Like, I don't really want to be called baby, either. But baby I find more acceptable than daddy.
You just want someone to be like, oh, money. Oh, buddy.
I even said, oh, dude. Oh, dude.
Oh,
no.
Dude.
A very sensual dude would be fine with me. Money is okay. Sure. I don't think anyone who's ever had sex with me knows that I go by JT Money, though. I don't think so. If you have and you do, write in.
Yeah. That's at, you can go to FeedToRandyQuiz.com and let us know what the fuck is up.
So then they come back from that.
Oh, his name is Troy, not Tony.
Who fucking cares about that dickhead? Tony's a way better name for him. So what happens now? They come back.
So, okay, so after that, Carol says to him, hey, I'm going to marry this John named Troy.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And I'm going to go get a wife. But you we can should. Run away.
Yeah.
And, you know, we can, you know, have a life together. And that's when Franco just looks at her and he's like, no.
Yeah, basically he's like, I don't think so.
He's like, no, nah, I'm a sex worker.
See ya.
This is what I'm going to, I just can't get out of this life. I tried to go to the army. It didn't work. I tried to work at a bookstore. It didn't work. I had to start slinging dick. It's the only thing I'm good at. My mom showed me when I was 12, you know, sling dick. You make some good money. I don't even need to work as hard anymore, and I'll get twice as much money. You know why? Because I look better now. Yeah, I'm not a 12-year-old kid trying to sling dick. Now I'm a 26-year-old man trying to sling dick.
And he's like, yeah, okay, I can. And she's like, well, I can't stay with you. I'm going to get my shit together, and I'm going to end up getting out of here. Okay.
And so then Henry Dungod died in a car wreck. Well,
so he's been playing gin and other various games with this fucking mystery guy at a bar throughout the movie, and he's always losing. He finally wins a game. And we've been talking the whole movie about, like, someone's got to die. I hope it's the mom. I hope that bitch dies.
Yeah, we were hoping it was the mom.
But it's like, someone's got to die. But as soon as we get to this scene, at this point in the movie, he wins the money and blah, blah, blah. It's like, oh, shit, no, it's going to be Henry. The one person who's kind of not a total shitbag, but also isn't really that integral to the story.
Kind of is a pretty big shitbag.
Well, he is. because, all right, so it was Jules' birthday and she wanted to go to a fancy restaurant. Well, they go to the fancy restaurant. They sit down in there. She doesn't have her shoes on. And so Maitre D' comes over and he's like, listen, I understand you eat outside all the time because you're a sloppy bitch and a disgusting pig, but you got to put your shoes on in here because you're in violation of a health code. If you don't put your fucking shoes on, we're going to kick you the fuck out. Also, your feet smell terrible. You're an awful, disgusting wench.
That was verbatim what he said.
And so he goes to walk out, and I'm like, oh, she's going to cause a scene. But she just kind of is like, oh, man, I don't even know what to say to
her. She's like dumbfounded that someone would talk to her.
Right.
The princess of pimping out women in New Orleans.
So Henry gets up, follows the dude out, puts something up his nose. It was a butter knife, I think. Puts up his nose. He's like, listen, motherfucker, we are not high class people. We don't come places like this very often. I'm treating her to a nice fucking night. You're going to go back in there and you're going to apologize because you insulted my woman in front of me. And that's some bullshit.
And it's her birthday.
Yeah, and it's her birthday. And she's going to keep her shoes off if she wants to. And you're going to be pleasant. And if you don't, when you get off later, I'm going to find you and I'm going to stab you in the fucking gut. And you're going to really question
your life choices
you made about health code violations.
And so that's what your health is gonna be like, you know.
So
think about your health.
He was a scumbag, sure, but he was always looking out for Jewel, or for the most part, and he seemed to look out for Sonny, except for the, you know, letting him be pimped out thing.
Yeah.
But he's gambling, he wins, he goes out in his car, he's gonna go do something with the money, probably buy whiskey. And then out of nowhere, he just gets hit by a fucking truck. Just run down, car explodes.
Yeah. And so Sonny's got like his baggish like stuff from the car explosion, like a watch, charred up wallet.
Well,
perhaps the $60 still in it.
But he didn't know it was before then that he found out that he was his dad, because we found out officially before then when she was asking Henry, like,
at the dinner table when they went to go out to dinner, right?
I think it was before they went out to dinner. It might have been at dinner. I don't know. But it was like, listen, we should tell him. And he's like, no, he'll never know. And if he does find out, he'll never see me again.
Yeah.
And then he dies. And so then she's like, I got something I got to tell you, basically. Says, he's your father. And here's the last thing I have written down. The entire speech that she's giving about Henry being Sonny's father, how it came to pass from their time back in Texas when they were younger and all this other shit coming up. She had snot in her nostril that just kept hinting at dripping out. Then she kept sucking it back up. Then it dripped back down. She'd suck it back up. And I could not, for the life of me, stop being distracted by it enough to really pay attention to what she was saying.
I am actually in 100% like in stride with your thinking there, because I thought this. I was like, woman, you need to blow your nose. I knew why she wasn't, though,
because she was cutting a good monologue right there. Like, she was really doing a good bit of acting. So I get why you just roll through it.
I understand, but, like, it made me, as a viewer, go, I just can't pay attention to what you're saying because I just want you to blow your nose.
And that's why I don't need a 70-inch TV that close to my face, because then it would have been even worse.
Yeah. A 70-inch TV is great in all when you're watching things you want to watch. And as much as, like, I want to watch every Nicolas Cage movie, sometimes it's a little rough.
Well, he's not fucking happy about this news that has been kept from him his whole life, that his dad has been his surrogate dad that he didn't know was his dad for the entire time he's been on Earth, yeah. Basically. He fucking flips out, flips the table, runs the fuck out of there, and like just super pissed off about it. And then, yeah, we get him on the couch sitting there looking through the bag of Henry's belongings, his hat, his watch, all this shit. And Carol comes in, and we're like, okay, this is the final opportunity. And you're like, let's go, Carol. Let's get on the run. That's what you're hoping for.
Yeah, I was like, all right, this is where it's going to happen, where Carol's going to say, all right, let's do this. Like, you know, I'm prepared to marry this guy, but if you do want to leave.
No,
like,
Tony is outside in the Pontiac ready to drive down to like Mexico to get married. Like, literally, that's what they're going to do.
And that's why I was like, all right, it's shit or get off the pot time.
And he's just sitting there silent, Franco. Like, ugh.
And this is where
Franco's just like, no. Oh, before this scene happens, though, we skipped over when he goes and meets Acid Yellow.
Yeah, but we talked about that earlier.
We didn't really talk about...
Okay, so let's go back to it, because that was probably one of the best scenes in the entire movie.
It's when he leaves his mom's after he finds out that Henry was his dad.
Okay, yeah, so this is...
Fucking hammered.
Really,
we're
just...
right there.
Yeah,
we're right there. About to skip over it. That's why I caught it. He gets fucking hammered down
in Bourbon Street and all that shit.
Like, and he wanders over... Because
we saw that guy playing the guitar with his fucking tongue.
And behind his head and all this shit.
And Franco was loving it.
So he wanders over and he knocks on a door and some big dude comes up. He's like, I need to see Acid Yellow. And he's like, let me go check with him. He comes back, all right, Acid Yellow will see you. So Sonny goes up there and it's Acid Yellow, which is Nick Cage with like a Gene Wilder wig on and a huge like W.C. Fields nose doing shit tons of cocaine. He's got a cane, he's in a yellow suit.
Oh, that was a yellow suit straight from like Dumb and Dumber style.
It was ridiculous. And he had a woman sitting next to him there at this little bar that he's chilling.
Was it a
at.
Woman?
Or crossdresser? I don't know. And then the big bodyguard who looks like a pro wrestler. That's what I thought.
I thought it looked
TA.
Like
TA.
Yeah.
And then. So Acid Yellow says to him as he comes in, he's like, you know, I've been trying to get you for a long time, you know, come in here and turn some tricks, but I could never get you. And now he's like, yeah, I'm ready to do a date. I'll do a date right now. Don't even tell me how to do a date. And Acid Yellow's like, are you sure you're ready for this? Like, this is one of my top clients. Like, don't get out of here, man. I know what I'm doing. And it turns out it's a gay setup, right?
Yeah.
Which is kind of what I had felt
the vibe of the group was once we got there.
I
definitely felt like that was the vibe.
And so it turns out the guy comes in and he wants the BDSM thing. He wants the master slave. He wants to be punished for being bad to his co-workers or employees and shit. So not Nick Cage. James Franco's like, did you know your father? The guy's like, what? So, did you know your father? He's like, he's dead. So is mine.
And he kicks him in the face.
Kicks him in the face and he punches him. He's like choking him. And the bodyguard, Nick Cage, come in, break the whole thing up, pull him out. Nick Cage is yelling, cut his face. Cut his pretty face. And he breaks out of there, runs away. But his cane turned into a knife.
Yeah.
Like, so apparently he was like the top gay pimp of New Orleans is what that's what I gathered.
Yeah, so yeah, so Acid Yellow, aka Nicolas Cage, was the top homosexual pimp in New Orleans.
So Sonny,
and Sonny's mom was the princess of the top of the bottom.
The princess of the top of the bottom.
Yeah, you know.
So Sonny went and worked out his daddy's death issues by beating up a gay dude.
Yeah.
This is what he decided to do.
Well, and after getting extraordinarily wasted.
Yeah. Well, either way, that's when we get to the scene where she's basically like, she's not directly saying, I'm begging you to run away with me. It's in the subtext, sure, but really what she's saying is, you need to just run away for you, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Like, come outside with me, and I want your mom hearing me saying this shit, because she's going to tell you that it's bullshit, but come out here. Run right now. Don't fucking look back.
Don't go inside and get your shit.
Don't get your shit. Just run right now. You need to get away from this life. You're never going to go anywhere. You're never going to do anything. And he's just like, And she's like, all right, man. Walks away, bawling. Gets in the car with Tony, and she's still fucking bawling. And he's like,
bitch, like, you got mascara all over your face. You look like an ugly bitch. Take my fucking hanky and wipe your eyes, bitch. Like, seriously, that's what he's saying.
Yeah, no, it's pretty much exactly what he said.
It wasn't verbatim, but goddamn, it was close. And so she's like, okay, daddy.
That was verbatim.
But then she looks in the rearview mirror, and she sees Sonny running down the street, and she's trying to get out of the car. Can't get out of the car. And he's like, what are you doing, bitch? What are you trying to get out of the car for? And she's like, oh, it's my daddy. Her other daddy.
And then she runs out, and she runs and jumps into James Franco's arms, and they're kind of like just kissing. And that's when I was like, oh, okay, cool. At least it has a good ending.
And it kind of fades to white, like the image blurs out, and then it cuts back to what they showed right before when he was making his decision, just him staring at the yellow front door of his mom's house.
Yeah.
And so after you get this happy scene where you think, okay, he made the decision to run away from that door and meet up with her, and now they're going to go do
he's still fucking just standing there.
Cuts back to him staring at the door, and then cuts to credits. And I was like, yes. I was hoping that they were just going to cut when he was staring at the door before he even did the run and just leave it totally ambiguous, because I know you hate that shit.
Yeah.
I love that shit.
Yeah, endings.
They gave us the best. This had an ending.
No, I get it. This was a better ending than the ending you originally wanted.
No, because even if they didn't have the running in the arms thing, the answer is still the same. He's still sitting there looking at the door. You got a fake version of what you wanted. So, but if anything, you got fucking teased.
But I got something, though,
nothing. You got a fantasy and then him staring at a door. The ending is just as ambiguous as if he would not have had that fantasy.
But I get the fantasy, because
you could have had the fantasy in your own head.
Yeah, but it's good for it seeing it on the film, because the character wanted the fantasy, and so he just thought
of it. How do you know he wanted it?
Because he'd been saying it the entire fucking movie that he wanted the fantasy.
No, he wanted to.
He wanted the fantasy with her. When he got the when he had the opportunity to get the fantasy, he didn't take it.
As I said before, I don't think he knew what the fuck he wanted at any point at any given time.
Well, that's why I'm saying.
He never knew what he wanted.
He wanted the fantasy of it.
No, that was a useless fantasy, is what I'm saying. It was completely empty. Like, I don't know why you would feel like you got anything out of that, because he's not going to do that. That's not going to happen. It was an empty thing that he thought of. And
that's what we had
talked
about right after the movie. I was like, ooh, I think I almost like that more than mine, than the thing I would have originally liked. Because the thing I would have originally liked, the happy ending, would have made no sense in the general 145 minutes leading up to this last 5 minutes.
And that's why, like, for me, it would have been better if it just left him staring at the door. Because then it's up to me to decide what I end up deciding anyway, which is that he just walks back inside.
And that's what I like the fantasy part of it, because you're saying that he didn't want it with her necessarily. And
I don't think he wanted it at all.
And I think he wanted the idea of a fantasy. He didn't necessarily... Putting her in it was just a person to fill it for that moment. It's just the fantasy itself.
I don't get the gratification of seeing him play out something he's not actually going to do.
I just think he wanted the idea of it. So
everyone wants the idea of it. I don't understand. I guess I'm confused on why that enhanced anything.
I just think it was better than it just ending.
It did end up just ending, though.
I understand that essentially it does just end because the fantasy is just in his head. But as viewers, we are seeing that versus just seeing it go to black.
I think that's a fucking negative, is my point. And I don't understand how it's a positive.
I like it because it gives more depth to the character.
It doesn't.
I think it does. We are seeing inside the character's head here.
But we already knew that he wanted that, and that was an option. So why did we need to see that one thing played out when it wasn't going to happen anyway? I feel like it's an intentional jerk off that doesn't really add anything to the narrative.
I liked it. I liked it more than I would have just liked it straight up ending, because I feel like this gives me the idea of closure at the end of the movie.
How does him still just staring at the door at
because
the
it gives me the idea.
You could have, you should have already had that idea without them spoon feeding it to you, though.
I obviously did have
movie,
that idea already because it was what I was saying at the end. I
so
wanted
why
to have
do you
happen.
Need to see it if
because
it isn't reality.
I want to, because I, why do I need to see any movie then?
See, no, that's a cop out response
it
to what I'm asking.
It isn't, though.
I'm not asking about this movie. I'm asking about this particular moment in this movie and how watching something
I don't
that
know
you've
how
already
to,
seen as a fantasy.
I don't know how to otherwise explain
I think it
why.
Was a cheap. I think it was a cheap twist ploy. When I first saw
it, could
I
have
liked
been.
It. I think it was cheap, is what I think it was. And that's why I hate it.
It could have been. And I just don't have the way to articulate why I exactly liked it, but I liked it
because
more.
He jerked off the fantasy you wanted without actually giving it to you, which is, again, I feel like I would feel more shortchanged. I don't know how
well,
you're feeling. Like
I
you
feel
came out on top
the majority of
this.
Of the time I would, but for this particular movie, for some reason, I like this ending. I can't. I'm trying to explain why I like it, but every time I try to say it, it comes out the same, and it either doesn't make sense or I just can't get it out.
I can't understand how you're getting a net positive from that experience, but that's neither here nor there.
No, you are right on that. Do you have anything else to say about this movie before we get to the rating portion of it?
No, now I'm done with it.
Yeah, this is the rating portion of the podcast. We're going to rate this movie on a scale of 1 to 50, 1 being the lowest, 50 being the best, and 2 to 49 being anywhere in the middle. IMDb gives this movie a rating of 28.
No. That's wrong.
I think that is too high.
It's way too high. I'm going to come in, I think, probably even lower, much lower than I initially anticipated after talking about it. And usually talking about it doesn't make my score drop by much. But I'm going to say I'm going to come in at a 14 on this one. Looking at it through the lens of Nick Cage's directorial debut and his actual work as a director, I think he got some really good performances out of the people who are in the movie. Everyone does an accent way better than he ever has. So that's a mark in the right direction. But like literally everyone's trying to do a nice, at least Southern accent.
Agreed.
Mostly Louisiana. James Franco does a pretty good Louisiana, except for when he's yelling and then he just reverts to his normal accent. But that happens. But outside of that, some really good performances. He definitely coaxed some good freakouts out of Franco. The mom's voice was just too much for me to handle, and she was such a hateable character that didn't really get any comeuppance for any of her shitbaggery. She didn't pay any price. For
she was a
who
terrible
was.
Person.
As I'm saying, what happened? Okay, so Henry died. Well, Henry died for a couple of people. She's not the only one that affects. And honestly, she'll be fine. I don't think she really cared that much. Carol was a question mark of a character about who the fuck she was. She just kind of seemingly came out of nowhere and then was like in love with Sonny. And they didn't give us enough of their relationship for me to buy it. So that was weird.
Or for you to even give a shit.
Yeah, I just didn't really about that relationship. But, I mean, you could tell Sonny didn't really give a shit either, so why should I give a shit? Which maybe was part of the point. But as far as the story goes, pretty boring overall. Not really that interesting. The nightstick dildo was a bit of a surprise. But other than that, it was pretty tame. Fuck that shit ending. I'm out. 14.
All right, so I agree with you that Nicolas Cage
Acid Yellow, fucking awesome. I want a spin-off movie that just focuses on Acid Yellow.
Nicolas Cage's directorial debut, I thought, was passable. I thought he did. He got...
Has he directed anything since?
I am not 100% sure, to be honest.
I don't think so, and that's fine.
He did get really good performances, especially out of James Franco. I thought the acting was done well. The story had interesting parts to it, but mostly was boring, and they set us up for some pretty good characters and then didn't elaborate on anything that they should have elaborated on. And it made us not care, or it made me not care, because I felt like there was a lack of depth.
No, I'm right there with you. We were talking about it earlier. They gave you a lot of really good pieces to have some good characters you could kind of flesh out and explore and see what happens. But then they just kind of didn't do anything with any of that.
Yeah, it was like the on paper... You know, like, is like, oh, this is interesting. Like, 12 years old, he started selling dick. Like, there's got to be a backstory, right? Nope. Don't get any of it. You mean this girl that he's, like, seemingly in love with throughout the entire movie? Yeah, I don't know. They might have been roommates. And then all of a sudden, they're maybe dating? I don't know. And maybe it's my fault for not, you know, quote, paying attention. I wrote an entire fucking sheet's worth of notes down, and I don't fucking know what happened in this movie.
Well, it's another thing we talked about earlier and didn't bring up while we were discussing it. Really hard to pinpoint exactly what time frame and history you're in. I think we reached a general consensus that somewhere in the early 80s is accurate.
Yeah, that's what I would say.
But it felt in so many places it could have been anywhere from the 50s to that time point period. There were so many elements. Like, they go out on a date to a soda shop.
Yeah.
And like,
it was also really hard to pinpoint how long this movie took place over. And not that that really necessarily matters.
I kind of like being lost in time like that, but it's hard to get your bearings straight.
Yeah, it's hard to know what's going on, and judging, it's hard to judge what's happening when you have no reference points. Which brings me to my overall point of, like, this movie was just a waste of 2 hours. More so, more or less. Like, Nicolas Cage has a good little tiny performance. There's a bunch of really little good performances. Like, that whole scene when they're in the... when James Franco is revealing to that sister that he was a sex worker in, like, a previous life. And then, like, from that to when he's walking out of their house. Like, that was a great scene. But then it was just like another 30 minutes of garbage. So I'm giving this movie like an 8. It is not very good. There's some good acting, some good directing. It was a poorly written movie, I'd say, for the most part.
Very poorly written.
And that's what I'm going to say. So I'm going to give it an 8. JT's going to give it a 14. IMDb comes up at the top at a 28. So you can catch all of our new episodes on iTunes at 50randyquids.com. You can also go to @50randyquids on Twitter and like us on Facebook. Next time on 50 Randy Quids, episode 96, the 5th annual Christmas edition. And And so we're hoping to get the entire gang back together. That would be myself, Chuck Banner, JT motherfucking Money, Tater Ricardo, and Jay Biggs.
That would be a Christmas fucking miracle.
And until next time, we watch movies so you don't have to. Peace out.